Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good.
Good to hear. Important thing off the top. Are you a Raising Cane's fan? Have you ever had Raising Cane's?
So, I don't think I've had it. I think once I have.
Must have not been that memorable for you then.
Well, what I really remember is, honestly, there is a NPR show called How I Built This, which is about the guy who's, and what they do is they talk to people about how they built different companies. So they talk with the founder. And so I happened to listen to the one which is about with the founder of Raising Cane, and it's great. It's great. And what he did, actually, as I dimly recall, he went and he worked, I think, on fishing. No, it might have been. It was something like either like a fishing boat in Alaska for multiple seasons, or maybe he worked on an oil rig. It was one of these, you know, crazy jobs where you make a hell of a lot of money. And then he came back and he started this Raising Cane's thing. And he said, I think this is true, that all they wanted to do was chicken. They're just doing chicken.
That's it.
And they're not having a lot of sides and a lot of whatever. They're like, we're just going to do chicken, and LSU, right? They started it near LSU, mm-hmm. I think near the campus of LSU.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. I was really impressed by the story. The question is, how much different can Raising Cane's be other than, you know, compared to Abner's, compared to, you know, you name the chicken joint. Is it really different than anywhere else?
It's not. I think they have the best sauce, though. They have the best sauce.
The sauce.
Yeah. It's all in the sauce.
I think I went once, and I think I was impressed by the sauce. But I'm mixing up whether I actually went or whether I just heard the story on NPR. And then the other thing is weirdly enough, this is going to be in South Haven, the Raising Cane's. It is funny. Like, I don't think in Boston, for example, if Raising Cane's come to Boston or when Whataburger came to Memphis, I don't think that like becomes civic news. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We get so... It's just a fact.
In and out, headed to Nashville. We get hyped up about these things.
We get, when you get a fast food restaurant or something, we get totally like it's in a frenzy over it. And it's just sort of funny. So, I think I went once. But, oh, I know what I was going to say. It's in South Haven. And so I really am one of these people who... It feels like there's an invisible barrier at the Mississippi border. Like, I can't recall ever going to Mississippi. I mean, I've been to Ole Miss.
Just for food. Stuff,
but for anything. Like, yeah, for like, you know, like, I'm going to go shop at a place in Mississippi. A GP's, you know, wife has a great children's store, and I've shopped from there, but I've shopped by asking her to... about, you know, could she help me buy something for someone, a new baby or something. So, but I've never gotten in my car, whereas I have gone to Wolf Chase or like I've gone out to Collierville, whatever the hell that open air mall is there in Collierville. I've been out there, but I've never been to Mississippi just to shop or to eat. It feels like there's an invisible barrier there. And so I can't imagine that I'm going to go out of my way to go to Raising Cane's.
No, I will not, because I'm also, listen, Raising Cane's has been in St. Louis for probably going on a decade at this point, so I'm familiar with it. They're chicken tenders. Like, that's, like, I don't know. Like, Zaxby's, I can get Zaxby's and be just as, sure, I can get Zaxby's or Popeye's or Chick-fil-A and be just as happy with what I get.
What's the one that's in the old Starbucks on Poplar there?
I think that's Abner's. Isn't that Abner's?
Is that an Abner's?
Yeah, that's really an Abner's.
I think it's really good. I went there and I was like, really good?
And, you know, one thing I think is very underrated, Guthrie's is underrated. Guthrie's is severely underrated. Very good. Very good. And their sauce is just about the same as Cane's. But we do get up in a frenzy about something so small. All they have is chicken tenders and a chicken sandwich.
It's great.
It's front page news.
Like, I haven't looked at the numbers in terms of, you know, what the most read story is on the Daily Memphian
today.
Probably
up there, huh?
I'm sure it's up there. You know, Graceland being sold is probably up there, or not, whatever you believe. And that's certainly another one. If it were down the street, I'd go.
Yeah. By the way, I saw that. What's the story with Graceland? There's a payment that was missed. All right.
The truth of the matter is, all I know is there are some people who are claiming that that they have a mortgage, essentially, and that Priscilla put up Graceland as collateral on a loan that she never repaid. And so these people are saying, all right, we're coming to, just like they would if you didn't pay on your house.
Right.
Send time to sell your house to collect on the, you know, to collect the collateral. Kilo, Riley Keo, is that her name? Is the granddaughter?
Right.
She has said the whole thing is a complete fraud and there was never a mortgage taken out. And if they have a signature from Priscilla Presley, that was forged. And so there you go. So there seems to be
some interesting.
I haven't followed it closely enough to know where the merits.
I just saw some interesting takes last night. They're like, take it back and then make the pool public for people to go swim in for a price. I'm like, okay, I think we're getting a little too far down the rabbit hole. But I can I be honest? Here's a full honesty. Uh-huh.
You've never been?
Never been. Yep. Never been. Not
once. I had been here. I moved to Memphis and I waited. You know, I figured I'll go when one of my relatives comes, and, you know, it's just like I grew up close to Niagara Falls, and the time you go to Niagara Falls is when your relatives come, right?
Yeah.
And so, I thought that's it. But none of my relatives ever came. And so after 10 years, on basically the 10-year anniversary of my arrival, I decided it was time to go. So I went, and I wrote a column about it, and I enjoyed my time at Graceland. I think I went one other time since, because then someone did visit me. Perfectly interesting. They have a nice tour to put a nice tour together. Not my thing, particularly not my greatest area of interest, but I have been and I enjoyed it. but only twice in, you know, since 96 when I moved here, 28 years.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I hear you. Now, on to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll be carrying them right here on 92.9 FM ESPN starting at 7 o'clock. Pacers at Celtics tonight. Game one on ESPN. Celtics 10.5-point favorites. The only thing I, the only take I have about this series in general is it is amazing to me how bad the Eastern Conference is at times. Like, just looking through it, I know the Pacers got helped by some injuries. Bucks didn't have Giannis and Dame for most of the series. And then you had the Knicks with just everybody going down because Tom Thibodeau doesn't know how to manage minutes during the regular season. That's a different story for a different day. But, like, seeing the Hawks in 2021, Pacers this year, the zombie Heat last year, it's ridiculous the difference between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference and how it continues to hold seemingly every season.
Yeah, I agree with that. It is also true. I mean, would it have been a pathetic conference if, I mean, the health has shaped so much of it.
Like, sure.
Would the Bucks, would you have considered the Bucks a pathetic team if they had, you know, obviously this year they never really got it together, but if they'd been healthy, you wouldn't have necessarily. But honestly, even at full strength, the Knicks weren't the most impressive team ever. No, I'm with you, and it's too bad because it feels like it's only getting tougher, right? It's only getting tougher. It's only getting, more competitive in terms of Memphis ultimately hoping to make a run.
Yeah, but then everywhere else you just look around, there is a lot of parity in the NBA, and I do have to give credit where credit's due to Adam Silver and the powers that be. The new CBA has helped with that, with the luxury tax blankets. That's why you have Timberwolves versus Mavs. We're going to have the sixth straight champion that's not a repeat. Like, there is a lot of parity. I know I'm speaking negatively on the Eastern Conference, but I think that's part of it as well.
Well, I think if you're a Grizzly fan, it gives you real reason for hope. I mean, there are the three of the four teams that are still alive, if you look at the preseason win totals, had either lower or equal win totals as the Grizzlies. So basically, three teams that came not out of nowhere, but again, had less of a chance to make, at least as viewed during the preseason, from the preseason perspective of the preseason, had less of a chance than the Grizzlies of making it this far. And there they all are. So that does speak to the opportunity. And if you want to imagine that next year might be your year as a Grizzlies fan, yes, the competition is incredibly fierce. But all you have to do is look at Dallas, which a year ago was a total disaster, and Minnesota, which a year ago everyone was ridiculing the trade for Rudy Gobert, and say, listen, if they can do it, why can't it be us? And I think that's a totally reasonable, in this NBA, you can dream like that. Whereas once upon a time, it felt like, how the hell are we going to get back, you know, get by Jordan's Bulls? Or how the hell are we going to get by that Warriors team? Or how, you know, yeah, honestly, even when the Grizzlies went to the Western Conference Finals, it felt like there was a ceiling on how far they could go, really, because there was going to be some colossus team waiting for them. Now there's never a colossus team. You know, there's opportunity for everybody. Now there's a lot of everybody's who have that opportunity, a lot of people you're competing with, but I think there's no reason to think it can't be you.
And I think there's also, you brought up the moves that the Timberwolves made, but like the Mavs as well, the Pacers moved off Bruce Brown, ended up bringing in Pascal Siakam. It just shows how close you can be. And the Grizzlies could make those moves this offseason. And I want to know what they look like, but they can make those moves this offseason to really put themselves over the top.
Yeah, that's one of the things that is sort of remarkable, is if you look at the moves these teams have made, you cannot imagine Indiana being here without what they did in terms of getting Siakam. You can't imagine Dallas being here without the moves that they made at the trade deadline.
PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford. Like, that was absolutely critical to them being there. And then Minnesota, the further back, but the moves for Mike Conley, for Rudy Gobert, like, they've augmented their core. And obviously, the Grizzlies have tried to do the same, acquire Marcus Smart. Honestly, once upon a time, taking a swing on Zaire Williams and Steven Adams. It's not like the Grizzlies haven't been aggressive over the years, except for maybe two summers ago, you'd say they didn't. But they're going to take more swings this summer, and it's important that they work.
Yeah, and I will say this. I think there's like a little bit of a mixed bag. I think most people are on board with this. How would you feel? I mean, Mike Conley getting a ring. I mean, that's definitely on the table. I think the Timberwolves are favored in this series against the Mavs. Mike Conley getting a ring would be fun to see. I enjoyed Mark. I think I almost will enjoy Mike even a little bit better. A little bit more.
I'm not sure I'll enjoy it more than I enjoyed Mark.
Just because it was Eastern Conference, it was the Raptors versus the Timberwolves.
Yeah, it was the Grizzlies were at that point so far out of it, they really weren't a competitive team. You know, at that point, they weren't aspiring to be there themselves. We were totally fresh off the Mark experience. I just like
Mike more, I think, a little bit than I liked any of the core four. I like all of them very similarly, but Mike is just so damn likable.
It's funny, I saw Rob Fisher said that he's one of his two favorite players he's ever covered, ever. And I get that. Yes, Mike is incredibly likable. I'm a big fan of Mark, so I don't know that I can pick one over the other. But Mike is just one of the all-time good guys. He was very clearly never as moody as Mark. Like, he was never as difficult as Mark. I also don't... he also wasn't quite the Memphian that Mark was, you know, so I enjoyed that part of Mark. I enjoyed the expressiveness of Mark. But both of those guys, I mean, Mike is a guy who would sit there in the locker room and talk to you like a real human being.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then he flies in this year, you know, going above and beyond to get here for Mark's night. Of course, yes. I get that some people struggle with rooting for the Timberwolves because – you know, because the rivalry that they've had with Memphis over the years, and because you don't like the idea of being passed by the Timberwolves, and so that's kind of your...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Irritating. But I do think Mike's presence makes it a lot easier.
I think the Timberwolves passing the Grizzlies too, and Anthony Edwards passing Ja Morant, I think all of that stuff, I mean, I think it's prisoner of the moment talk. It's a little overblown, right? Like, it seems overblown in my head when I just sort of look at people and the takes they throw out there.
Yeah, I don't think it's passing as much as
we expected to be here, and we expected you not to be relevant.
I think it's just the Grizzlies have put themselves in a position that any year could be their year. The Timberwolves have too, and this happens to be a year when it's all coming together for the Timberwolves. But that doesn't mean that next year, like if the Timberwolves win it all this year, right? It doesn't actually mean that next year they will necessarily be ahead of the Grizzlies. Sure, they will be in they'll be predicted to be and whatever else, but a lot of things will determine it. The moves that happen this summer, the health of both teams next year. I don't think just because they had the better year and might win a championship this year, that means that necessarily they will have forever passed the Grizzlies for the next 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the way it works anymore.
Yeah. Now, do you have any new thoughts on the pick on the ninth overall pick that the Grizzlies ended up getting? Do you, any new thoughts there for you, or are you sort of in the exact same spot?
Right. No, I mean, I think, honestly, the most interesting thing that happened today, you know, for whatever reason, there was this discussion, more discussion about Taylor Jenkins. And, of course, he talked today, right? And so there was some discussion about the changes.
And then the John Hollinger thing, too.
Yeah. And I think that the hot seat question is an interesting question, because I saw Drew Hill push back and said, I don't see how he's on the hot seat. And I just think it's a question of definition, right? Like, I think if they get off to a slow start next year, if they're not good after 20 games, I think he could be fired. And that, to me, means he's kind of on the hot seat. It doesn't mean that they want to fire him, but don't you believe that? Like, and so is that...
Sure. They started 6-19 next year with a fully formed team. Hell yes.
Or even if they start 8-13 and don't look right, right? I think I could imagine them making a change. And so, just because it's time to win. So, is that, like, I think every coach in the NBA whose team is expected to win, who wasn't a just hired, or doesn't, you know, is not, you know, Popovich or you know, one of the legendary coaches, I think they're all on the hot seat. And so I really think that you can define it however you want. Taylor Jenkins is, in fact, if they get off to a bad start, he's kind of on the hot seat. Like, I just mean the expectations are there. It doesn't mean that they want to fire him or they're itching to fire him or he's done a bad job or anything else. But because it's time to win, if they get off to a bad start, I believe he can.
I think it's semantics, too. What do you think the hot seat means? I've always thought of hot seat as you're leaning out. You have to do some real work to lean back in. And I don't see – that's not Taylor Jenkins to me. I think it's more warm seat where it's like – We're still in on you, but if things start to spiral out of control, we'll be out. I think it's sort of the opposite of what I think of the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think J.B. Bickerstaff might be, like, if you see hot seat as they're already out on you, they just want an excuse to fire you, that is not where Taylor Jenkins is, right? But if it is, if you don't win, you could be gone in the next 20 games. Then he is on the hot seat. I really do think it's just whatever you define it as.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that they're out on him in any way. I don't believe that in the slightest. I just think it's time. It's time to win. Is Sean McDermott on the hot seat? Just for example.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Warm. Similar, but not hot. Not out. Out and you have to do work to lean back in. I don't think that's where we're at with Sean McDermott.
No, but it is. If they get off to a bad start, you could imagine the same thing, right? You could imagine there's enough. It's time to win, Sean. Time to win at a pretty high level. Like, let's not have this go backward on you, right? And so it's not hot seat like.
And I think it's different for Sean McDermott in the fact that they have their entire offseason, everybody's, all their franchise cornerstones are gone.
Right.
That's not the same situation that Taylor Jenkins is in. But
no,
I get
and
your
it's
point.
Not like, it's not like Billy Napier, right?
Right.
Like Billy Napier at Florida, yes. You feel like really.
Six or seven wins, you're still probably out, buddy. Like, you're still probably going
to
get.
Yeah, fired. Like, you're going to have to really do some heavy lifting to keep your job after this year. Right. And that, I think that's more classically the hot seat. And I think Billy Napier's on that hot seat. But I do think that, you know, I think Taylor Jenkins cannot afford to get off to a slow start.
I just, the two other names that were on the hot seat, though, I don't know if Taylor Jenkins deserves to be next to Willie Green and Chauncey Billups. I think that's that's a little bit unfair and a little bit disingenuous.
Willie Green made the playoffs this year.
Sure. Yeah. But they have to. But previous to that, not a lot of success. And they have to completely rebuild this roster going into next year.
Yeah, and it just feels less stable, right?
Yes.
It just feels less stable. There is a certain stability to the Grizzlies organization, and there has been. It's interesting, though, like how these things are being perceived. You know, the remaking of the restructuring of the assistant coaching staff is it a signal of something? Maybe it's a little bit of a signal. I think it all points to the same urgency that we're talking about, I guess is what I'm saying. There is an urgency in Memphis to win, and there should be.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Penny Hardaway's interview on the Point Forward with Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner. Anything that really stood out to you? I look at the Ashton Hardaway thing was interesting, sort of confirming the beliefs we had. Didn't necessarily fit in with the scheme. He's being a good dad on the back end. Nothing to really see here. He did say he wanted to be an NBA coach at some point, which is not surprising. I think some people will take that a little bit the wrong way because you're like, oh, this is a guy we hired to be the lifetime coach at Memphis if he succeeds, and he still has the thought of making it to the NBA as a head coach. But why wouldn't he? I think in any industry, you want to get to the peak of the position. In any industry, you want to be at the peak.
Yeah, I mean, that was interesting, but it I have never doubted. I mean, there was the story. How many years ago? 2 years ago now?
It was 2021, the Magic
went
thing.
Down the Orlando stuff thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And my perspective then was, of course he'd take the Orlando job in a second. You know, he would take the Orlando job. I never doubted that Penny, here's the truth. Penny perceived, yes, he loves Memphis, and he wants to do great things for Memphis, and he wants to turn the Memphis program around and make it something to be proud of, and all of that. I believe that to be true. Penny also thinks of himself, and I'm not saying this isn't true, as a really advanced basketball mind.
Yes.
That's what he thinks of himself as, right? And so the idea that Penny would want to coach in the NBA where, you know, all he has to do is think of and focus on basketball and I mean, that's of course he wants to do that, to work with the best players in the league. And I don't even think it depends on it has to be the right job. I just never believed Penny was going to get that job.
Right.
I didn't think there was any chance of Penny leaving because I didn't think there was any chance he was going to get the job. And I still think, given the way he is perceived, you know, I don't think he is a particularly, you know, I don't think he's any kind of a slam dunk candidate to get an NBA coach.
Absolutely not.
You know, I think he's a long shot to get it. Now, can that change? Like, can
yes.
you build a college coaching resume? Yes. Has he, you know, that qualifies you? Like, there's no question. Jay Wright, if he wanted an NBA job, could get an NBA job. Mike Krzyzewski, at various points, had he wanted an NBA job, could have gotten an NBA job. Tom Izzo, had he wanted an NBA job, could have had an NBA job. Go on and on. There are others. Penny has not assembled anything close to that kind of resume.
Agree.
Let's get to the second weekend of the NCAA. You know, let's get to the second weekend of the NCAAs, and then start talking about, you know, whether you've assembled a resume that qualifies you to or would earn you a job coaching in the NBA. I don't think right now there's any danger that Penny will leave Memphis for an NBA job. And I have always thought that it should be a real comfort to Memphis fans that he would not leave Memphis for another college job. Because
yeah.
I can, you know, and that's one of the ways that he separates from other, you know, would-be coaches at Memphis, is you never have to worry about him leaving for a college job. You might have to worry about him leaving for an NBA job, except right now, there is literally no yeah. chance he would get one.
Yes. But if he builds up a good resume, gets to the second weekend again, continues to build the roster out, hey, who knows?
Again? He hasn't yet.
Well, I'm talking about Memphis as a program in general. I didn't mean him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If he does great things at Memphis, he could build that kind of a resume. But so far, let's be honest, he has not. He has not gotten the most out of his rosters, and that's the job of an NBA coach,
True.
Is to get the most out of your rosters. The best thing he's done is create excitement, which he did early on in particular, and then assemble rosters.
Yep.
Well, as an NBA coach, you're not in charge of assembling the roster, and the excitement hopefully does not come from the head coach. And so,
yeah.
So the job is to get the most out of your roster, And I don't think you can argue, honestly, any year Penny got the most out of his roster.
Yeah.
And maybe 2 years ago. But yeah. That would be the only year.
Yeah, and then the final thing, and I think one of my biggest takeaway from the whole thing, being a former athlete, the damn microfracture surgery that he discussed, it is diabolical. Like, I went through some of the names that had that procedure in the past. Tracy McGrady, Amari Stoudemire, Chris Webber, Greg Oden, Chandler Parsons, like that surgery, it took way too long for them to stop doing that on athletes. And then even in the NFL, Melvin Gordon, Jadeveon Clowney, Miles Jack, as of recently, that just completely had, well, Jadeveon Clowney maybe a little less.
For anyone?
No. Looking back at, maybe Jadeveon Clowney's the best case you could make, but he has never lived up to his first overall, pick billing that he was coming out of South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at those highlights, and I wasn't here when Penny was doing his thing at the University of Memphis, but you look back at the highlights, and that was something else.
Right.
And it is, listen, there's real tragedies in the world, and so,
sure.
But it is damn disappointing that Penny, he would have been on that list of certainly on the list, I think, of the 25 greatest NBA players ever, had he not been hobbled in the way he was. And it's amazing, you look at his career now, how long he played. You know, he just kept playing because he loves the game. Like, he had a long career. It was just, after that surgery, it was largely, he wasn't close to what he had once been. And that's a damn shame.
And even just looking at the idea of the surgery, you create microfractures so that the blood clot can create then pseudo cartilage in the spots that you need it to create the cartilage. Like, that just seems like, just
and then
on
you
the
apply
surface.
Leeches, and then you apply leeches to the outside of the, and the leeches suck the bad spirits out of the.
Right.
I think that's part of it.
I'm thinking about we did this up till like 2017, 2018 with athletes. What the hell were we thinking? Good God. I mean, it's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts. But Jeff, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again on Thursday.
Okay, good.
Bye. Yes, sir. That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist. Also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Let's go ahead and grab a break when we come back. We have some NFL OTA news to get to. T. Higgins, not very happy with the Bengals. What is going to happen with the Bengals coming up this season? And then also, we have some Bryce Young news. New Panthers head coach Dave Canales, he was the OC for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, turned around Baker Mayfield's career for the most part. He's now coaching Bryce Young, and he says that Bryce Young is picking up the new offense relatively well. What do I think about it? What do I think about Bryce Young's career going forward in a Carolina Panthers uniform? I'll answer all those questions and more coming up next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We have NFL OTAs rolling along right this second. We have a couple interesting news lines or news notes to really bring up. I'm going to start with the Panthers, who stink. They were 2-15 last year. They had the number one pick that they traded to the Bears for a reason. 2-15, and Bryce Young was really bad. Now, new Panthers head coach Dave Canales, who was the offensive coordinator for Baker Mayfield in his turnaround season last year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he says Bryce Young is coming along with the new offense. He went on to say, quote, he's doing fantastic with it. So for us, the formations are pretty vanilla, so we can just teach the concept we want of each route, the depth, the footwork we want. And also he went on to say he's very coachable, those types of things. Bryce Young's coming off a year where he threw for 2,800 yards, 11 TDs, had 10 INTs, and a 2-15 record. He also ranked 29th out of 30th of qualified quarterbacks in total QBR with 33.4, 33rd in completion percentage out of 32 starting quarterbacks, 59.8%, and 28th in touchdown passes out of those 32, and that is only with 11. Now, the question for me becomes, will he take a step in the right direction? And I say absolutely. It's like he's upgrading offensively from a weaponry standpoint, from a poop sandwich to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's the difference we're looking at right this second. Last year, I think the biggest issue he had, or at least, you know, grand scheme of things, is he was throwing to a 33-year-old Adam Thielen, who probably last year ran the same 40 that I ran when I was coming out of college of a 5'2". He really couldn't get open. He struggled a whole lot. He didn't have any other weapons on the outside. They tried to get Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss, but they overdrafted him in the second round. I think he has some potential about him, but he got hurt as well. Now, when you look at that offense in general, too, the other issue he had is he had no offensive lineman that could keep him upright, and everything got pressed back into his face. And if you take any sort of offensive line cues from me for a short quarterback who's 5'9 in stature, you have to think about the Drew Brees effect. Drew Brees always, under Sean Payton, had an interior offensive line that could anchor really quickly, that did not allow pressure up in his face. Because when you're a short quarterback, you're short in stature, you have to see, you have to have throwing lanes, and you have to be able to find those throwing lanes. When you're getting your interior offensive line pushed back into your face as a 5'9 quarterback, you have nowhere to see. You have no throwing lanes. What they did this offseason, they went and improved that. They got Robert Hunt. And, you know, on the other side, there's another guy by, I forget his name at the current moment. Connor, you can look that up for me. But they spent $153 million trying to fix that interior offensive line. Damian Lewis from the Seattle Seahawks is the other guy. They spent $153 million on two different offensive guards. Now, I will say, I have said in the past, not a very good allocation of funds by the Panthers, but I would be very, very positive, and I think rest assured he will have a better pocket to work from. And also on the outside, let's focus on this. They take Xavier Leggett at the end of the first round. He's a big-bodied outside wide receiver who can take the top off of defense. He ran a 4.3 at the NFL Combine, and then they traded for Deontay Johnson. So when we look at Bryce Young and the improvement he can make year one to year two, I think it's pretty clear he has upgraded the weaponry on the offensive side of the ball, and he will be better. What will that look like? I don't know, but he'll throw for more than 2,800 yards. He'll probably throw for more than 11 TDs, and hopefully he'll be able to stay on the field a little bit longer and not get hurt with that offensive line, having money spent on it. Now, on to, I think, the biggest storyline we're going to be following throughout the offseason. Have you seen the stuff with T. Higgins, Connor?
I have seen the
good
stuff with T. Higgins.
Lord. So,
not good.
For those that don't know, he was extended a franchise tender of $21.8 million after this past season, and he's yet to sign it. He's yet to sign it. So he did not show up to Bengals OTAs today, and he's not expected to show up for most of the voluntary offseason program. Now, if you know anything about T. Higgins, damn good receiver. Very, very good receiver. And he was part of the reason that the Bengals were able to make their run to two straight back-to-back AFC championships. He caught for 1,029 yards in 2022 alongside Ja'Marr Chase, who was absolutely phenomenal in 2022. He's got 12 touchdowns in his 2 years as a pro. Now, when we look at T. Higgins and what's going to happen with him going into the season, I have no earthly idea. I'll say this. I think ultimately cooler heads will prevail. He has no choice right now. He can only play for one franchise, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals coming up next season. The Bengals are not showing any interest in trying to trade him if he signs the franchise tender. They're not showing any interest in giving him a contract. So what ultimately I think will happen is by week one, he will have reported and he will sign the franchise tender and make about $22 million going into this year. Now, here's the real questions for me. Joe Burrow has a wrist injury. How well is he going to be able to throw the ball to T. Higgins? Now, if Joe Burrow gets hurt and Jake Browning gets inserted, by week 7 or week 8, what's it going to look like for T. Higgins? Is he going to make business decisions and stay off the field for the Bengals? I look at the AFC North as the best division in the National Football League, as most people do. Rough and tumble. You have the Steelers, the Ravens. You have the Bengals. I mean, you're phenomenal. The Browns can really hurt you, and they can be physical as well. So I'm looking at the Bengals right now with this T. Higgins situation going on, and I know people want to have this hope that Joe Burrow can be the answer, can be the, you know, ultimate guy to go dethrone Patrick Mahomes, because that's what he has been touted as since he's started playing at a high level for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I'm going to be honest with you, Connor. I can make a better case for the Cincinnati Bengals finishing last in that division than I can for them to finish first. There is way too much uncertainty, and the T. Higgins situation is just a symptom of where they're going to have to go in the future. They also have a guy named Trey Hendrickson who wants a new deal, who wants to get traded, who's one of the – he had 17.5 sacks last year as a defensive end. What are they going to do with him? Bengals are in a world of hurt, and they're not – really seemingly able to do anything about it. And I'm curious how this goes the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, a few weeks ago on the Pat McAfee show, A.J. Hawk was talking about that wrist injury and the surgery that Joe Burrow had, because he had a very similar one. He was like, it just never got right for me. He was like, as time went on, like, it just never snapped back into place like it needed to. So there, that is a worry, and that's a question mark for the Bengals. I hope, you know, he bounces back, because when he is healthy and he's playing, he's one of the more exciting players in the league. Did you see his new look, by the way?
Who?
Anakin Skywalker? Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, yeah. He's got the little, yeah.
Yeah. Showed up looking like Anakin Skywalker from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. He's got the little frilly hair in the front. Yeah.
Like, I got a perm. Yeah. No, but yeah, you can't. The T. Higgins situation is not great, especially when Tyler Boyd has already walked. Like, you cannot piss off those wide receivers.
Well, but here's the thing. I think it's become pretty clear. They're not going to pay T. Higgins. Someone will pay T. Higgins.
Somebody will.
Unless he has some ridiculous injury, which I hope doesn't happen. We saw that happen with Earl Thomas back in the day when he was begging for a contract from the Seahawks, and then he ended up tearing his Achilles or ACL, whatever it was. I hope that doesn't happen to him. He'll get paid by somebody, but I think the Bengals have made it very clear. You're not getting paid by us. We have Joe Burrow on the massive contract. We're going to have to deal with Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to be just a victim of the situation we have right now, salary cap-wise. So we'll see what happens. It's just, it's going to be a very interesting year to watch the Bengals, who a lot of people have sort of crowned over the years because of Joe Burrow's emergence. But I don't know. I don't know. It's trouble in paradise over there. There's no doubt about it. Now, Community FSBO is who you need to go look into if you're trying to sell your house. FSBO stands for For Sale by Owner, FSBO. They give you the tools to make yourself your own boss when it comes to selling your own home. They have three separate packages that let you take advantage of the next-gen FSBO process. And with that, you pick your package, and they handle just about everything up to the closing. And they can even handle that for you if you do request. But they do professional photography, interactive 3D walkthrough, floor plans, room measurements, and, of course, listing. Then you field offers, get a contract, and you're on your way. The money savings can be up to 90% on that listing price, so make sure that you check them out. If you're looking to sell your home, look into Community FSBO, Unreal Next Gen process that you are sure to latch on to. Check them out at communityfsbo.com. That's communityfsbo.com. Or call them at 901-660-FSBO. That's 901-660-3726. Now, Small Talk is on the way, and we have a new restaurant coming close to Memphis. We'll talk about that next.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, coming soon, that will be available, I believe, 7 days a week, because I don't think they're closed on Sunday like Chick-fil-A. Raising Cane's should be coming to a town near you. Looks like it'll be in South Haven, Mississippi. Raising Cane's, the chicken spot that apparently people in Memphis love, because I think, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's really what it is. I grew up on Raising Cane's. I promise you, it's not that big of a deal. I know you've had it as well, Connor.
It's fine.
It's the sauce. The sauce makes the whole thing come together. But I think that everybody, like Guthrie's, has the similar sauce. My God, like a play. Remember UB's back in college? They have a similar sauce with their chicken tenders.
UB's.
Phenomenal.
Come on now.
So, like, in the end of the day, I'm not going to seek it out. I'm not going to go all the way to Mississippi to have it. If I'm passing it, maybe, but it is what it is. Bring it in and out. Then I'll go to In-N-Out.
Yes, In-N-Out I can have conversations with. But Raising Game,
I'll go to Zaxby's.
Cool.
I'll go to Zaxby's.
I'm not going
to
South.
I'll go to Chick-fil-A over that. I'll go to Popeyes over that, as long as Popeyes actually gives me my food and I can have decent service. But hey,
I'm good with Popeyes.
Hour number three is on the way, and we're going to open it with Christian Fowler. He's next. Side of the ball, and he will be better. What will that look like? I don't know, but he'll throw for more than 2,800 yards. He'll probably throw for more than 11 TDs, and hopefully he'll be able to stay on the field a little bit longer and not get hurt with that offensive line, having money spent on it. Now, on to, I think, the biggest storyline we're going to be following throughout the offseason. Have you seen the stuff with T. Higgins, Connor?
I have seen the stuff with T. Higgins.
Good Lord. So,
not good.
For those that don't know, he was extended a franchise tender of $21.8 million after this past season, and he's yet to sign it. So he did not show up to Bengals OTAs today, and he's not expected to show up for most of the voluntary offseason program. Now, if you know anything about T. Higgins, damn good receiver. Very, very good receiver. And he was part of the reason that the Bengals were able to make their run to two straight back-to-back AFC championships. He caught for 1,029 yards in 2022 alongside Ja'Marr Chase, who was absolutely phenomenal in 2022. He's got 12 touchdowns in his 2 years as a pro. Now, when we look at T. Higgins and what's going to happen with him going into the season, I have no earthly idea. I'll say this. I think ultimately cooler heads will prevail. He has no choice right now. He can only play for one franchise, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals coming up next season. The Bengals are not showing any interest in trying to trade him if he signs the franchise tender. They're not showing any interest in giving him a contract. So what ultimately I think will happen is by week one, he will have reported and he will sign the franchise tender and make about $22 million going into this year. Now, here's the real questions for me. Joe Burrow has a wrist injury. How well is he going to be able to throw the ball to T. Higgins? Now, if Joe Burrow gets hurt and Jake Browning gets inserted, by week 7 or week 8, what's it going to look like for T. Higgins? Is he going to make business decisions and stay off the field for the Bengals? I look at the AFC North as the best division in the National Football League, as most people do. Rough and tumble. You have the Steelers, the Ravens, you have the Bengals. I mean, you're phenomenal. The Browns can really hurt you, and they can be physical as well. So I'm looking at the Bengals right now with this T. Higgins situation going on, and I know people want to have this hope that Joe Burrow can be the answer, can be the, you know, ultimate guy to go dethrone Patrick Mahomes, because that's what he has been touted as since he's started playing at a high level for the Cincinnati Bengals. But I'm going to be honest with you, Connor. I can make a better case for the Cincinnati Bengals finishing last in that division than I can for them to finish first. There is way too much uncertainty, and the T. Higgins situation is just a symptom of where they're going to have to go in the future. They also have a guy named Trey Hendrickson who wants a new deal, who wants to get traded, who's one of the – he had 17.5 sacks last year as a defensive end. What are they going to do with him? Bengals are in a world of hurt, and they're not – really seemingly able to do anything about it. And I'm curious how this goes the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, a few weeks ago on the Pat McAfee show, A.J. Hawk was talking about that wrist injury and the surgery that Joe Burrow had because he had a very similar one. He was like, it just never got right for me. He was like, as time went on, like it just never snapped back into place like it needed to. So there, that is a worry and that's a question mark for the Bengals. I hope, you know, he bounces back because when he is healthy and he's playing, he's one of the more exciting players in the league. Did you see his new look, by the way?
Who?
Anakin Skywalker? Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, yeah. He's got the little, yeah.
Yeah. Showed up looking like Anakin Skywalker from Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. He's got the little frilly hair in the front. Yeah.
Like I got a perm. Yeah, yeah. No, but yeah, you can't. The T. Higgins situation is not great, especially when Tyler Boyd has already walked. Like, you cannot piss off those wide receivers.
Well, but here's the thing. I think it's become pretty clear. They're not going to pay T. Higgins. Someone will pay T. Higgins.
Somebody will.
Unless he has some ridiculous injury, which I hope doesn't happen. We saw that happen with Earl Thomas back in the day when he was begging for a contract from the Seahawks, and then he ended up tearing his Achilles or ACL, whatever it was. I hope that doesn't happen to him. He'll get paid by somebody, but I think the Bengals have made it very clear. You're not getting paid by us. We have Joe Burrow on the massive contract. We're going to have to deal with Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to be just a victim of the situation we have right now, salary cap-wise. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting year to watch the Bengals, who a lot of people have sort of crowned over the years because of Joe Burrow's emergence. But I don't know. It's trouble in paradise over there. There's no doubt about it. Now, Community FSBO is who you need to go look into if you're trying to sell your house. FSBO stands for For Sale by Owner, FSBO. They give you the tools to make yourself your own boss when it comes to selling your own home. They have three separate packages that let you take advantage of the next-gen FSBO process. And with that, you pick your package, and they handle just about everything up to the closing. And they can even handle that for you if you do request. But they do professional photography, interactive 3D walkthrough, floor plans, room measurements, and, of course, listing. Then you field offers, get a contract, and you're on your way. The money savings can be up to 90% on that listing price, so make sure that you check them out. If you're looking to sell your home, look into Community FSBO, Unreal Next Gen process that you are sure to latch on to. Check them out at communityfsbo.com. That's communityfsbo.com. Or call them at 901-660-FSBO. That's 901-660-3726. Now, Small Talk is on the way, and we have a new restaurant coming close to Memphis. We'll talk about that next.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, coming soon, that will be available, I believe, 7 days a week, because I don't think they're closed on Sunday like Chick-fil-A. Raising Cane's should be coming to a town near you. Looks like it'll be in South Haven, Mississippi. Raising Cane's, the chicken spot that apparently people in Memphis love, because I think, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's really what it is. I've grew up on Raising Cane's. I promise you it's not that big of a deal. I know you've had it as well, Connor.
It's fine.
It's the sauce. The sauce makes the whole thing come together. But I think that everybody, like Guthrie's, has the similar sauce. My God. Like a play. Remember UB's back in college? They have a similar sauce with their chicken tenders.
UB's.
Phenomenal.
Come on now.
So, like, in the end of the day, I'm not going to seek it out. I'm not going to go all the way to Mississippi to have it. If I'm passing it, maybe. But it is what it is. Bring it in and out. Then I'll go to In-N-Out.
Yes, In-N-Out I can have conversations with. But Raising Cane,
I'll go to Zaxby's.
Cool.
I'll go to Zaxby's.
I'm not going
South. I'll go to Chick-fil-A over that. I'll go to Popeye's over that. As long as Popeye's actually gives me my food and I can have decent service. But hey,
I'm good with Popeye's.
Hour number three is on the way, and we're going to open it with Christian Fowler. He's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.